Well, good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Very good? Nice to see your smiling faces, and thanks for those visitors here that are joining us today. We are shown in Hebrews 12, verse 6, as well as other scriptures in the Bible, that God will chasten, teach, and correct those whom He loves. I'm sure everybody in this room, at one time or another, maybe even recently, have received correction from God. Maybe some of us receive it a little more than others, but nevertheless, we do receive correction. And it's just part of our walk with God in this life. Because correction gives God an opportunity to teach and an opportunity to lead His children. We read in Romans 8, verse 14, that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So my question today is, are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Or specifically, do we look for, do we listen to, and do we act upon the correction of the Holy Spirit? So let's take a look at this subject today by first recognizing that although God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, it is something that we can resist. It is something that we can actually ignore. If you would, turn to the 7th chapter of Acts in verse 51, Acts 7:51. We're finding in here a verse within the account that Stephen is giving to the Jewish council. And Stephen is actually going back and giving a historical account of the things that they failed on. It's rather scathing indictment. Talk not only about them, about their fathers and their forefathers, about a people that just wouldn't listen, about a people that just refused to change. So let's read Acts 7, verse 51. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Now, being stiff-necked means stubborn, headstrong, means obstinate. But the word here for uncircumcised in the Greek is actually a word called aperitmetos, aperitmetos, and it means those whose heart and ears are covered. So in essence, he's saying, you stubborn, obstinate people, whenever you get the instruction of the Holy Spirit, you stick your fingers in your ears. You're just not listening. They had the correction. They had the instruction. It was laid before them. It was before them all the way, and they just simply didn't take it. So do we. Do we ever resist correction? I'm going to lighten things up just a little bit here. I'm going to recount a story, actually, a time when I think I was in fifth or sixth grade. I don't exactly remember when, but I came home one day. Came home, and as soon as I got in the house, I knew I was in trouble. And anybody who's been in trouble with mom knows the look that moms can give when you're in trouble. Yeah. So anyway, I walked in. There was no doubt something was afoot. And she wouldn't tell me what it was, other than she kept asking me leading questions. Well, did you do something wrong today? Is there something you want to tell me? I'm thinking, oh, man, this is not good. I'm going through this big inventory in my head about what it could be. And I'm thinking, oh, she couldn't know that. How could she know that? And that was half hour ago, for crying out loud. You know? And I just could not think of it, and I didn't want to admit to anything. I kept avoiding it, and the more I avoided it, I tell you, she turned a shade of red I'd never seen before. And she, like I said, she just gave me that look of, I have had it with you. I just kept avoiding the correction. And as it turned out, what it was, I mean, maybe you're curious, maybe you're not. I've been pretty much a tormentor of my little sister for a long period of time, and my parents, through a lot of discipline, sort of cured me of part of that. And so I kind of ceased to torment her, but now I was just ignoring her phase. Okay, I'm not going to torment her. I'm just not going to even pretend she exists. And the whole point that mom was trying to make was that I missed a great opportunity to be nice to my sister. I missed an opportunity to actually do good. And that's part of what correction is. It's not just saying you're doing the wrong things. It's saying, no, this is the way in which you are to be led, and this is the way you need to go. But I would have no part of that. I stood my ground. I was, like we heard on the sermon last week, I had my little defense attorney on my shoulder. Because, you know, parents, you know, they can accuse, try, and sentence you all in one swoop. There's no court of appeals. No jury of your peers. You know, it didn't happen. So, there are four inscriptions on our paddle at home. It's called Board of Education. One's called Board Meeting. One's called Kiss of Fire. And one's called Consider the End. So if you have any doubt, we had a board meeting. And yet that is, there's a board and there's a meeting. And as it turned out, actually, Mom wasn't out to spank me. That wasn't her point. All she was trying to do was correct me and get me on the right path. It was my obstinance and refusal to be corrected which caused that to occur. And there are some lessons in there. You know, correction, especially when you look at this spiritually, correction is inevitable. It just is inevitable. It's just it's a question of how we take it and how we approach it. Those are the choices we make. And second, like I said a little earlier, correction isn't just not doing the wrong thing. Correction is being led in the direction that we're supposed to go. It's a course correction. That's what it's for. It's to educate. It's to help us. And third, there are no secrets. You know, it didn't matter that Mom may not have known all the details. As a matter of fact, she didn't know all the details, and actually I'm quite thankful she didn't know all the details. But we really can't avoid anything, so we really shouldn't bother. The point is, God knows it all. And whether you receive correction from another human being who can't possibly know all the details, the fact is, God does know all of the details. So don't bother trying to avoid it. Don't try to wiggle out like I did, but always look to the right correction and look to God. Now, in order to learn and apply the correction of the Holy Spirit, of course, we first need to look for it, and we need to listen to it. We need then to actually apply and act upon it. Let's take a look at an example in the Bible. Let's consider the story of Cornelius and Peter's vision of the sheet with the unclean animals. So if you would, you could find your way to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we'll pick up a verse here in a minute, but I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop on what's happening here. We have a situation where Peter was praying. And after he prayed, he was hungry afterwards. And while lunch was being made, he fell into a trance and saw a vision of a sheet of unclean animals. And a voice said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." But the voice spoke again, "What God has cleansed, you must not call uncommon." This was done three times, and the sheet was taken back up into heaven. So here we have Peter. He has this vision. First he was praying, so he was looking for direction. Then he gets this vision, so he gets instruction. But he's trying to figure out what it means. Now let's go ahead and start and pick up in verse 19. Acts 10, 19, verse 19, and we'll read through 28. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.' Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called them together, his relatives and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and said, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And he talked with him. He went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to another nation. But God has shown me that I shall not call any man common or unclean.'" So we have this example here that Peter was seeking God's will, he was listening to correction, and he acted upon it and came to a very, very important lesson, that the gospel was to go out to the Gentiles. Very, very important lesson. Now, my question is, would Peter have learned this if he didn't act on the instruction to go to Caesarea? And was Peter told everything in advance? Was he given all the details? No, he wasn't. Peter was given enough information to move forward on faith, and it wasn't until he acted on that that it became apparent what it is that he was to learn. Have you ever listened to a message in services, or perhaps you're in Bible study privately and you're reading some material and some very important things sort of come to you, or maybe you're in prayer and it becomes very apparent that God's inspiring you to be open to some things, some changes, and you sort of promise to yourself, you know, that's real important stuff. I think I'll get to it eventually. That's important. I should probably look at it a little more deeply. And then you never really quite get around to it. You know, you take steps. You are seeking God's will. So you're praying. You're seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit. You're listening. And so you're listening, but you just don't quite act on it. It's just acting. You have to have all three steps for this to work. I think sometimes we do try to seek God. We try to seek His will. We try to listen. We try to listen intently. But we just don't quite act on it. We just won't quite take it the next step. And when we don't take it that next step, the Holy Spirit is choked. I'm going to refer to Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8, and then verse 13. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, and then verse 13. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. And then in verse 13 it says, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, we really can't wait to seek. We can't wait to listen. And we certainly shouldn't wait to act on what we learn. Now, sometimes we can get discouraged. Sometimes we think this is kind of a big nut to crack. But we have to remember that the Holy Spirit will help. And as a closing scripture, I'd like to have us look at Romans 8, verse 25 through 27. Romans 8, 25 through 27. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. It's talking about faith here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have God the Father. We have Christ our brother, our Savior. We have the Holy Spirit. We certainly have God's direction, His instruction. We have this Bible. We have everything we need. And God's not the author of failure. It works. So certainly as we pray and as we study, particularly when we pray and we cry out to God for change and for a change of heart, that God would remove the obstacles that we have that prevent us from learning more of Him, that we commend His will into our life and we ask Him to remove our own, we are then in a place where we can actually act upon what we're told, and then and only then. So certainly let's all hope and ask for God's help that we can look for, we can listen to, and we can act upon the correction of the Holy Spirit that He gives us.